Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
As we will be continuing part two of my interview with my dear friend, Pastor James Levesque from New Hartford, Connecticut. And he has a church called Engaging Heaven Today. That's also the name of his podcast. That's actually how we first connected. He was just reaching out for a couple points of clarification on how to get things going. I was able to help him out in that regards. But God has bonded us together in such a way. I mean, this brother and I, we click on so many different levels, and you hear that throughout the interview. We're going to be going right back into today's conclusion of the interview. I'll rewind it just a little bit. If you missed yesterday's episode, though, I highly recommend you go back and listen to it. That way you're all caught up on things, because yesterday we talked about his book launch as well as some other things. But today we're jumping right back into the conclusion of my blessed interview with Pastor James Levesque.
We're never going to forget this relationship, Brother Bob. You have been a blessing to me from day one when I didn't know what a podcast was.
Oh, you give me too much credit, brother. You were just putting the final touches and putting everything together, man. And your podcast, I want to go back to your podcast now. Tell us what your average downloads are and how the podcast is doing. I mean, I want to get back to that podcast question real quick.
Yeah, so it's really remarkable. We launched in August of last year, and we really had no, hence I placed a phone call to you. We really hadn't, I never had a background in it. There was no marketing. There was no launch. I just hit record on a computer, and I desired to do a daily devotional to bring people close to Jesus Monday through Friday, the Engaging Heaven Today podcast. And immediately it started exploding. Today, as this interview's on, we're about a little over 1,500 subscribers daily, which is a lot of downloads,
yep.
And we're nearing almost 100,000 in less than a year.
That is
so
awesome.
we're about 10,000 a month, and you know, Monday through Friday, we're just having so many. And the testimonies, man, so many testimonies of people. We're in every state in America. We're in about 70 nations of the world.
Amen.
And every day I hear a testimony on how it's strengthening people's relationship with God. And, you know, it's only 15 minutes a day, Monday through Friday. And of course, it's on iTunes and Evangelism Radio.
Amen.
Partner with us, Podbean, all the different sites. And it's a perfect ride to when you're riding to work, or it's a 15 minutes a day. And man, it's really bringing people closer to Jesus, and that's my goal.
Amen. Amen. And folks, if you haven't heard the Engaging Heaven Today podcast, you need to go look it up on iTunes or Stitcher or any of those other things that you're on, and listen, subscribe, because, I mean, Pastor James is, I mean, just the intro will get your feet moving. Amen.
It is
powerful. I mean, I can't, every time I listen to it, because I download it to put on Evangelism Radio each Sunday, and I listen to a couple of the podcasts, because like you said, they're only 15 minutes long. And I mean,
right.
I mean, that just fires me up, and I'm chomping at the bit by the time you get done, brother.
Oh, glory. Come on, God. It's like Holy Ghost Espresso.
Exactly. Hallelujah. Now, you host numerous, what I, for lack of a better term, I hate using this term, but well-known pastors and ministers in your church, you know, as well as you doing the preaching and things like that. It's time to name drop a little bit. Tell us some of the well-known ministers of the word that have visited your church.
Oh, man. Well, we've had so many. Heidi Baker was with us last fall. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown was with these, but these are, you understand, these are all friends, right? I mean, I really like to move through relationships, so there might have been bigger well-knowns that I've said no to, which people would have been probably more upset. But anyway, we've had, Tommy Tenney's been here, Paul Keith Davis has been here many times. We've had John Arnott was here, Cheyenne's been here a bunch. Yeah, we've had a lot of speak. Yeah. David Hogan was here a bunch. Yeah, God's blessed us in a lot of worship, a lot of Bethel music artists. A guy named Sean Foyt's going to be here this year, this fall in December. They come every year. Yeah, we've had so many covering the spectrum, you know.
Yeah, amen. Go ahead.
One of my spiritual fathers is Dr. Brian Simmons. He just started the Passion Translation.
Oh,
it's a translation of the Bible. It's a translation of the Bible, and he's also, been here a lot. So
yeah, I mean, and like you said, this is not a bragging session. I mean, that was just verifying that others are noticing the powerful work being done by your church as well, and that's why they go out there. Correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. We have a lot of visitors, a lot of conferences. And, we have an internship. We have a Bible school that we do training. I do a teaching every Tuesday night, Amen. School of the Spirit in West Haven. So,
Amen. On June 1st, you're having Catherine Mullins come out, right?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Catherine Mullins will be here with us June 1st and 2nd, yep. although that is tomorrow. So I'm not sure when
at the time of this recording. Yeah, right. I'm just saying that, you know, she's visiting as well. Explain her ministry to our listeners.
Catherine Mullins is a powerful worshiper. She was probably known more at the Ramp. She was the main worship leader at the Ramp with Karen Wheaton. They have a powerful ministry down in Alabama.
Amen.
And they just get thousands to come out, and they're young people. And so Catherine was the head worship leader there, and she travels the world. She's amazing.
Yeah.
High praise, high octane girl.
Amen.
But she's been a great friend of my wife and I's for many years. So.
Yeah, amen. And you just mentioned something that I want to emphasize. A lot of young people are being touched. You know, people look at the younger generation like, they'll catch up one of these days. But, you know, these are the leaders of tomorrow's church and tomorrow's government and tomorrow's community leaders. You need to touch them now so that their Holy Spirit led when they hit their 30s and start hitting positions of power, you know? Amen.
Yeah, totally true. There's no junior Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's a fact. Now, you also have a few other outreach programs in the community you briefly mentioned at the beginning. One of them is the New London Breakfast Program that provides outreach to the homeless. Tell us about this program and the impact it's having on your community.
Man, Brother Bob, you're doing your homework, buddy. Look at you. Yep. Yeah, so New London Breakfast Program is a program that has been around for almost 10 years now.
Praise
and
God.
And what we do is we every morning Monday through Friday we feed over 100 a day easily homeless, those that are hurting. We've partnered with the United Way. We pray, you know, every time before a meal, share a little encouraging thought, but it is everybody. It's not just a Christian thing. Everybody comes. And then what we do is once a month on the second Saturday of every month, we do a lunch, and that can be 200 to 300.
Amen.
And we sit the homeless down, we serve them, we treat them like royalty, and it's always a different menu every day, and we have a lot of dedicated volunteers. And look, we have seen many lives changed.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says that when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord.
That's right.
And let me tell you something, he pays back.
Yeah.
Amen. He will.
Amen. And when he pays back, it's a multiple, not just, you spent $100 feeding the homeless today. Well, here's $100. No, it comes back and you sow a teaspoon, he brings back a wheelbarrow. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good.
Amen. Now, what are some of the other outreach programs that you have at your church?
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of outreaches. All seasonal things we do a big outreach to the young people. We have a amazing youth director, so we're always doing youth outreaches.
Amen.
On Christmas, every Christmas, we actually serve the homeless for breakfast on Christmas. All the families, we don't open gifts. We go to the church and we just love on people, give gifts. The mayor comes. And that, you know, one year was 500-600 that we fed.
Praise God.
So, you know, we're always looking. Now we're starting to do, we're visiting the homeless shelters in New Haven. And we just, met a mom last night with two new babies, and she's homeless. And we're buying clothes for the babies.
Goodness.
So we're always looking at ways to share the gospel, but and reach out to people and love on them with the love of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Now, we covered last time, and you mentioned it briefly and when you're going over your bio, about the significance of the church building you're in, that you own, not just you're in it, you own it. Go over that again for our listeners.
Yeah, so we're in really an iconic First Church of Christ, New London, Connecticut. It was known as the First Congregational Church there on 66 Union Street in downtown New London. And this church goes all the way back to the early 1700s. I mean, this thing, mid to late 1700s, there was three different buildings there is what I'm saying. Right. And the late 1700s, they erected this massive 750-seat sanctuary that was used during the Great Awakening. And we were renting it from the First Congregational Church for a little while. And I had a dream. The Lord told me to buy the building, that the ministry would. And God really opened it up. And so a few years ago, in September, we purchased the building. And it is a sight to see. I mean, people come from all over midweek just to look at the building.
Amen.
It was built by, I think it was Leibowitz, Iding Leibowitz. He built the New York State Capitol building and many other historic landmarks around America in the Northeast. People come from all over. And, what I loved about it is the Great Awakening significance.
Yeah.
Look, I think that God's sound is held in stone. We know that. Mm-hmm. Scientifically, and can you imagine the messages
Amen.
That were preached there? You know, and here we are tapping into that same heart for this region. And look, I'm not living in the past. I believe with all my heart, when all is said and done, they're going to look back on what we're doing here, and it's going to be just as great as those great awakenings.
I'm telling
you, we're going to see the greatest awakening in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And while I got you on this subject about the Great Awakening, relate that to current events in the news right now as it relates to biblical prophecy.
Yeah, look, I think there is no doubt about it. We are in the last days.
Yeah.
I mean, the writing's on the wall.
Yep.
You see what's happening to Israel.
Yep.
And the Bible says it's going to be a great and dreadful day of the Lord. And I think the church needs to decide what side we're going to fall on.
There you go. This is
not a day to hide our voice. This is not a day to hide our light. We're living in a day where the world's getting louder and louder and the church is kind of shutting up on things. And
they are.
And it's time for the church to open their mouth and stand for the gospel. Right is right, wrong is wrong. I don't care what gender you identify with. You were born a certain one. That's what you are. I don't care how you feel. It's about faith. It's about the word of God. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing the opposite. The more I preach the truth of the word, the more I'm watching people get transformed, and they're so thankful that somebody will speak their mind. You know, we cover some hot-button subjects on the podcast,
and America
is looking for Christian leaders to rise up, because we are living in the end days. The book of Ephesians says that we must redeem the time, because the days are evil.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Glory to God. And folks, again, I recommend you go and look up Engaging Heaven Podcast on iTunes and subscribe, because then you will be able to hear what we're talking about. If you haven't experienced the Pastor James podcast yet, it will get your feet to moving. Amen. Glory to God. Pastor, are you ready for what I call our lightning round?
Let's do it!
Amen. This is just a few questions that I've been asked over the years, and I know other pastors and ministers have been asked the same thing. So I got a list of like 30 questions. I just randomly picked three or four, and then we'll go for it, and you give your answer. Amen? Try and keep it brief.
Sounds good.
One to 2 minutes tops, right in that area. All right? How do you respond when someone tells you or asks you, if God is so good, why does he allow bad things to happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think the first thing that comes to mind is that, look, we live in a fallen world. The Bible says that as believers, this isn't our home. You can date this all the way back to the Garden of Eden when man fell. It opened up sin into this earth. Look, it was never God's design for us to live in sin and have pain. We became sinful. He hated us because we had sin, but he loved us. He couldn't love sin. He couldn't hate who he loved. So he sent Jesus in our place. Mm-hmm. But that is giving us hope as believers. But as long as we're living in this fallen world, the devil, unfortunately, he's going to try to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. And for some people, he's successful.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. All right, next question. Why are some people healed and some people are not?
I think that's a great question. There's probably not enough time and too many answers for each, but I will say this. The Bible makes it very clear that everybody who touched him was made whole. Exactly. The Bible's very clear that Jesus, everybody he touched, was healed. Mm-hmm. Somehow we've tried to make an exception that, you know, Jesus tried and couldn't, and that's just simply not true.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that were skeptical and didn't get healed. There's people that skeptical didn't get healed today.
Yeah.
But I think the first thing we need to reconcile is God is good and he always wants to heal. Then I think we do everything we can, study the word, confess, believe. There is an element to this that is a mystery, meaning it's not on our timeline. We don't understand. So I don't think it's one, you know, we're living in a day where we want one example to cover everybody. It doesn't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my job to figure that out. It's my job to give God an opportunity.
Yeah,
amen. You know, I remember years ago, a healing evangelist that I knew was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and as he's walking out the door, a lot of people got healed that night, but there was one kid with like a water head, like a massive head, and he was walking out and didn't get healed. That night, this man was disturbed and prayed, God, what happened? He had a dream, and in the dream, he was walking out again, saw the boy with the water head, and this time, Jesus' arms were around the boy's head, and Jesus said in the dream, I have not forgotten him.
Amen.
The very next night, the boy got healed in the service. So all I can tell you, if you're believing for a miracle and it hasn't happened, God has not forgotten you. That's his word is true.
That's right. And I'll add to the end of that, you know, these bodies are fallen. They're deteriorating. There's no way.
Totally.
You know, nobody is going to live forever, okay, in these bodies.
Sure.
And you know, sometimes they're beyond repair. Again, I don't limit God at all. I believe he can do anything he wants. He can raise the dead, praise God. But you know, if you don't get your physical healing here, you just step over the line and you receive a glorified body there. I mean, you know, so
right.
I can't limit God. I'm not going to say, you know, someone with stage 4 cancer can't be healed, because I've prayed for him and seen him healed. I mean, you know, if you're trying to tell me it doesn't happen, you're too late to the ball game for that, because, you know, I've seen it, you know. But I've also prayed for people and seen them die. We don't publicize that too often. But, either way, if they're a believer, they're rejoicing right now. Praise the Lord. Okay, enough on that subject. Let's give it. You covered this. You briefly covered this. But I want to come back to this question. Did God make some people to be a homosexual?
Absolutely not.
Amen.
I think that the Lord, look, there's a reason a man and a woman fit in every sense of the word.
Amen.
I think that God created us to procreate, to love one another.
Yep.
And look, the bottom line is, I think Rick Warren said it best. I was watching an ABC News interview, and they said, well, what do you say? Because they were all protesting outside of Saddleback. Proposition 8, no, how are you against homosexuals? And they said to Rick Warren on the news, they tried to trap him, but he really got it. They said, well, what do you say to the people that say I was born this way? What do you say to the people that say this is how I was created? And I couldn't believe his answer. He shocked me. He said, I'm inclined to sleep with every good-looking woman I see on the planet. But just because I have an urge doesn't mean it's healthy.
There you go.
And I think, look, we all have to put down the dark side, the flesh.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter. Just because I'm tempted with drugs doesn't mean I was born a drug addict. Just because I'm tempted with lust doesn't mean I was born to be, you know, promiscuous. And just because you might have this attack, is what I would say it is, to be attracted to the opposite sex, doesn't mean that's God.
Right.
So we don't give in to every urge. That is not who you are. The Bible, look, the Bible's very clear. Once you read Romans 1, Bible's really clear that homosexuality is a sin. And look, there's nothing new under the sun, but the problem is when you live in a day where people try to make you feel like it's okay, if you were homosexual, they would actually wire your brain to try to shock your brain because they thought you had a problem.
Yeah.
Today, if you say you're homosexual, you're almost cheered.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. That is nonsense.
Yep, that's how far we've fallen.
As a believer, it is how far we've fallen. As a believer, it is flat-out sin.
Yeah.
And sin is going to separate you from God. So, look, you want to continue in that lifestyle and think, oh, I'll still make it to heaven. I don't want to gamble that. I'm not going to roll those dice.
Yep.
Jesus said, be holy for I'm holy.
Yep. And narrow is the way. Praise the Lord.
That's true.
All right.
Broad is the way that leads to destruction.
Yep. Amen. How can we know there is a hell?
Yeah, that's another thing that's been getting me lately, you know? It's like, I can't believe that there's so many people that don't think there's a hell.
Yeah.
There's a whole rethinking hell movement. They try to attack me on Twitter. I hit them with about 800 scriptures. Look, the bottom line is the Bible is filled with scriptures about hell.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if God is a just God, then there has to be a punishment for sin.
Yep.
You can't think that, look, if there's no hell, then there's no heaven.
Yep.
If there's no hell, then there's no salvation. If there's no hell, then there's no reason to preach the gospel or live right. You know, there is a destruction. There is a lake of fire.
Yeah.
Satan understands that well. And, you know, so, I mean, I don't have the time to go into it, but trust me, there's about 100 different scriptures that explain hell. And that people need to realize, like, he's a just God. So he's going to give you a lifetime to accept. The Bible says that it's not his will that any would perish, but they will, trust me.
Yep.
So, you know, the idea that, oh, let's get rid of hell, then you're trying to get rid of heaven, and you're trying to get rid of everything else that comes with the gospel. Look, if you're going to be saved, think about this. If you're going to be saved, then you're saved from something.
Mm-hmm.
What are you being saved from? Yourself?
Yeah.
That makes no sense. I'm being saved from an eternity in hell without God. That's
right.
Why I'm born again.
Without God. Yep, that's right.
I mean, can you imagine America 20, 40 years ago thinking this way?
Mm-mm.
Can you imagine Billy Graham? None of Billy Graham's crusades would matter if we thought there was no hell.
That's right.
Years ago in the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, and they would grab onto the pews because they didn't want to slide into hell.
Exactly. Amen. We need preaching like
about,
that again today.
About,
amen.
Oh, we do. It's time to restore the fear of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. You know, I did just off, well, it's on topic, but just real quick, I did a sermon once, and I had about a 30-foot piece of rope with me. And in the middle, I took a 1-inch piece of duct tape and taped it in the middle. And I had one end go out around the corner of the room so he couldn't see it, and the other end go around through the hall, you know, out into the hallway so you couldn't see it. I said, this is eternity. You see no beginning, you see no end. This little spot here in the middle represents what God has cut out and called time. Time has a beginning and time has an end. Your life is just this little wisp of smoke in the middle of this 1 inch, you know, and it is a very, you know, a very obvious thing. It says this represents all of time, and your life is just a little wisp of smoke, and the decision you make before that wisp of smoke goes out is what's going to determine where you spend the rest of that rope, in heaven or in hell.
Wow, that's good.
So, but it was a very dramatic representation, I guess you could say. Okay, next question. In your opinion, what is the number one demonic force at work today? I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to ask you anyway.
Man, the number one demonic force at work. You know, I think there's a few things. I think there's a political spirit that tries to come on the church that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think there's a religious spirit. Jesus warned of both, 11 of the Pharisees and 11 of Herod.
Yep.
And I feel like there's a pitfall on both sides of this that the enemy is bringing on this earth today. And quite frankly, it's just destroying believers.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to understand that the devil.
Yep.
Huh?
I was going to say division. Is what,
division. Yeah,
that's what I thought you were going to say. But you know, but you emphasized it's dividing. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. I think division's right on.
Amen. Okay, last question. This is, I ask every person, every minister of the gospel that I get on, I ask them this last question, so you're in good company. If you woke up tomorrow morning and realized your entire life was a dream, but God allowed you to keep all of the experiences and complete memory of everything that's happened so far in your life, what would you do, and how would you go about doing it, and why? What would you do differently?
Wow. If I can go back. You know, I think if I could go back again, what I would do differently is I probably wouldn't, in the early days, I probably wouldn't put so much emphasis on other people's opinions. Mm. You know, there's when I got saved, man, I got really saved. Like, I got, like, really saved. Free mm-hmm. from addiction saved.
Yeah.
And I realized that I was so on fire for God, and my biggest struggle wasn't going back to sex or drugs. It was giving God everything in a church culture that didn't. Mm. And I realized early on, I was so, you know, people would say things to me and make me feel like I was crazy, you know, for as extreme as I was. Mm-hmm. And in a way, I wish I didn't listen to their voices and I didn't take them so serious, because, like I like to say, God validated my crazy. You know what I mean?
Amen.
He linked me up with people on the earth that were changing this world for God. And
amen.
The minute I realized that the way I felt and the way I believed was right, it wasn't popular, it wasn't where everybody else was running off a cliff, but the things I was feeling was right, that was when the floodgates opened and I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
I knew that I would live on this earth to please God alone. And so in the early days, I wish there was somebody, a father or someone that came alongside of me and said, you're right. You're special. God's going to do great things with you. I had to find that out through a lot of lumps and bumps, but we got here, and that's what's important.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Pastor, I appreciate the time that you took out of your schedule today to visit with us again. And again, congratulations on episode number 200. And I'm looking forward to, having you back on with number 300 when your book comes out.
Yeah.
Just all sorts of things we can talk about. How can someone get in touch with you if they wanted to ask you a question or listen to your podcast or anything like
that? Yeah, absolutely. They can, first of all, they can contact me on Facebook. At James Levesque 1 or right. Pastor James Levesque on Facebook, Twitter at James_Levesque. My Instagram is at James_Levesque. And they can also get in contact with me at engagingheaventoday@gmail.com. Engagingheaventoday@gmail.com. I would love the questions. I would love the testimonies. And maybe we'll even cover a question they have on our podcast. So
amen.
That's how they can get in touch with us for sure.
Amen. Well, Pastor, appreciate it again, and keep working for God, brother. I mean, you are making an impact in that area of the country,
thank you,
which
Bob.
Is, you know, just like a stone that's dropped in the water, the ripples continue on. And, you know, the
Amen.
Impact is right there, but it's rippling throughout America. So, man, keep up the good work, man. We just praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. And for Pastor James Levesque and myself, I want to remind you that you too can be blessed in all that you do.